Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what's crazy? I'm looking at the Bruins website right now, looking at just like their points leaders. I didn't realize just how much Pastrnak is leading the team by in scoring. Like, granted, he's played 8 more games than Marchand, who's next in line, but Pastrnak has 90 points, and the next highest guy is Marchand with 56. That's for a team with so much depth, it's crazy how much of a gap there is between the first and second leading scorers. I know he's played 8 more games. I get that, but that's still 30. What's that? 34 points. That's crazy.
That reminds me, because I thought about this the other day, but I want to look up the last time they had a gap that big between first and second scorer, because I'm going to guess it's been a while. Like, I'm thinking maybe Joe Thornton, but even that, like, you had like your Glenn Murray, who might have been at least closer than that. But yeah, it's probably been a while.
What about like Mark Savard in like 06? Like, who would have been behind him? Like Brad Boys or Marco Sturm or something? Maybe Bergeron?
True.
I could check that one when Bridget brings up the next point. But, but yeah,
we're going to end up looking this up by the end of the podcast.
Oh, no, he's going to look it up right now whenever we change the subject.
I'll take it.
Okay, so you guys want to move on to the defense, because kind of a significant issue, I guess you can say, leaving the game. Forbert doing his thing, he drops the knee down, gets the leg flat on the ice, but takes a puck right to the leg, or was it his ankle?
Yeah, it looked like lower leg-ish, but it's hard to tell.
It was right above the ankle from what I thought I saw, but he has a hard time getting off the ice. He only ends up with 13 minutes of playing time. And we talk about the need for, you know, at the deadline to add another defenseman, and you've just been waiting for the shoe to drop. Now, obviously, we do not have an update yet. We're recording this just after the game, but guys, how does this affect?
Well, we do kind of have a little bit of an update. Matt Porter is in Winnipeg and said Forbert was in a walking boot after the game, and Jim Montgomery said that he's not expected to play the final two games of the road trip, so at least out through the weekend. And, you know, I'm sure my guess is he might come home now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm assuming he's going to get more testing done, and then they'll probably have a clearer picture. But yeah, I'd say very safe to rule him out for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so I mean, we don't have an update for long term, I guess you could say. We don't have the evaluation done yet. But yeah, when we saw Jake DeBrusk in the walking boot, that was a long recovery for him. And, you know, Foligno, when he got hurt after his game, had crutches and whatnot, and he's still out. So not sure what the prognosis is, as I see Brian smiling about something back there. It's definitely not the injury, but we'll get to that in a second. But guys, how does this affect your rotation, and also, you know, things like your penalty kill, the possible pairings you might be able to put together?
Well, it takes care of the rotation for a while, for at least for as long as he's out. Now you know who your six defensemen are, and you're not worried about, you know, having to rotate guys once every four games. That said, it also provides an opportunity to get Jacob Zboril in, which Jim Montgomery said he wanted to do at some point on this road trip anyways. So now you can still rotate someone out if you want to. If someone's a little banged up, you know, like Carlo sitting Tuesday after that hard crash into the boards on Sunday, which, by the way, should have mentioned earlier on Zaka's goal and also right before it on a Hathaway chance at the post, both started with good breakups by Carlo and just inside the D zone, getting the puck quick up ice. I thought he had a really strong game, and Nesson had the stat that since he had that tough stretch where we had three straight minus two games during that portion of the schedule where they lost four or five around the All-Star break. And since then, he has not been a negative, and he is a plus 18 over the last 15 games. And I know, you know, plus minus, not the best stat, not a be all end all, but in his case, pretty telling. He, him and Lindholm as a pairing have just been great and just do not give anything up. Anyways, back to Forbort. Yeah, so you can get Zaborlin now. You can, you know, especially Sunday, back-to-back with travel, like, yeah, get someone a rest. Like, whoever needs it most, that's potentially an opportunity to even get Lindholm already sat a game, so maybe a McAvoy or an Orlov gets a game off. But now you can get Zaborlin as well. And then the penalty kill, it's going to be interesting to see because the stats, you know, Forbort in the lineup versus out of the lineup, it's like a 12-point drop. I think it's 88% in games he's played and 76% in games he's missed. But most of those came back in November when he was out with a broken hand. So that was a long time ago. Guys have, you know, had a lot of time to get better at penalty killing since then. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like. And that could be important because I don't think Forbort's job was like locked in for the playoffs. I think there was still, you know, a battle going on for ice time and who's in the lineup and all that. So now you get a chance to see, like, all right, does the penalty kill really take that much of a hit with him out, or are they in a better place now than they were in November and they can withstand it?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to add on that situation. From what Scott said, I think, like, for me, I guess what's worrisome is that Forbort's, like, one of his biggest attributes to this team is just his ability to shot block and get in lanes. And obviously that comes at a price, but it's just like this, you're going to want him to be that warrior type defender in the playoffs and eat those shots left and right. And it's just, this is the second time. Is it the other foot or the same foot? Do we know?
This time it's his right.
I mean, so it's just like
last time it was his hand, it was a broken hand.
Oh, was it his hand? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe I was thinking of DeBrusque.
Or a broken finger specifically.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. That's what it was. Never mind. But I mean, either way, it's like he's just, I don't know. You want, because the war of attrition is so important, right? And I know blocking shots, there is an art form to it. And he's probably one of the better guys in the league at staying healthy while doing it. But the fact that it's starting to, you know, get some leaks in the armor there, it's kind of troublesome, I suppose. But as far as the rotation goes, I mean, I echo everything Scott said. Bridget, what I was laughing at earlier was I was straight up just laughing at the Bruins roster in 06-07 and thinking to myself, and I was also laughing at the plus minus for each player, like the fact that the Bruins won a Stanley Cup four calendar years later after this roster is absolutely mind-blowing to me. And they turned it around, like, the next year they made the playoffs for the first time and they kind of took off. But Savard had 96 points that year. The next closest guy was Bergeron with 70, so 26 point spread. And then the third highest scorer was Glenn Murray with 45 points. So it went 96 points, 70 points, 45 points. And look at Bergeron's plus minus was minus 28. That's the Dave Lewis era right there. I mean, come on. Bergeron's a minus 28. Listen to the minuses on this team. Minus 19, 28, minus 12, minus 24, minus 21, minus 17, minus 22, minus 22. The best plus minus on the team was zero. It was Peter Kalis, who the hell that was. And Brandon Bochenski was a plus 3. Oh my God, this team was brutal.
That was that was my senior year of high school, and my friend Jim had season tickets, two tickets, and I bought like half the season for the second ticket. So that was probably the year I went to the most games as a fan. And yeah, completely forgettable on the ice. Like that, yeah. So I many memories coming back.
Waste that team, money.
Team was brutal. Well, our tickets were like $10 a ticket. We were last row of the balcony, so
they were so easy to get back then. I remember in 06, it was January of 06. I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, because I think I had school off for some reason, and my dad came home early from work and like woke me up at like, I don't know, 7 or 8 in the morning. I don't know what time it was. And he was like, "Hey, you want to go to the Bruins game today?" I think it was a matinee, and they were playing the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. It was their last year as the Mighty Ducks. I think they won the cup next year. But anyway, it was at the Garden, and Bergeron had like, I think, 2 goals and an overtime goal, him and Marco Sturm or something. But it was like, yeah, you could just get a day of game. You go into the Garden, or maybe in the Fleet Center at the time, but it's like just, you know, 40% attendance. Like, yeah, and then they went a cup 4 years later. It's just crazy.
We could like move around to open seats, like wherever we wanted. We ended up in the luxury box a couple times. Like security was like nowhere to be found. You could just kind of go wherever you wanted.
Wild West.
Yeah. I mean,
now that I think about it, that's probably the last year. That season is probably the last time there was ever a non-sellout game at the Garden. Maybe early on in that 07-08 season, like when Lucic was a rookie and Kessel was coming into his own. I think people still didn't like think they were going to make the playoffs. I think the second half of that year they started to kind of fill the seats, but after that, I mean we're talking like 15-16 years of just like sellouts at the Garden, which is pretty crazy.
Got
off the rails there. I guess we'll bring it back. I feel like Bridget's really good at bringing it back on the rails, so I don't know if there was something else from the game you wanted to discuss, or Scott.
Shot blocks. We were talking about shot blocks, and I just wanted to mention McAvoy had 5 in the first period, and he had 7 total. So we're talking about guys stepping into lanes. McAvoy had a really good game, I thought. And in particular, the shot blocks and the save that he made, because it looked like Swayman made another great stop. It was during a penalty kill. Looked like Swayman made back-to-back huge saves, and it turns out on the replay, the second one was McAvoy's stick in behind Swayman, sending it wide of the net. So saved a goal there and helped Swayman get that shutout.
Yeah, what was a really good game for him. And, you know, you don't usually see games from McAvoy like that with the blocks, because usually he's spending so much time in the offensive zone that there's no need for him to be blocking shots. But yeah, I think it comes back to like what we started with, which is wasn't always the prettiest game, but the effort was there. Like, they were committed. And I think McAvoy exemplifies that. Like, normally a top McAvoy game, he wouldn't even be in his own zone enough to block that many shots, but he had to do some dirty work, and he did. He was committed to it. Like, he could have, you know, not gotten in the way of all those shots, but he did. Like, he brought the effort and did what it took to want to win.
I mean Bridget, you mentioned off the top, I think Swayman shutout. Sometimes I forget to kind of give goalies their due, because they've just been so consistent all year. It's funny. It's like they had one shit game against the Blackhawks, and I'm like, hey, you guys notice Ullmark kind of sucked today? It's like, that's like the first time all year he's given up more than 3 goals. And of course I call him out, but so great game by Swayman. Nice bounce back performance from the Detroit game, which wasn't his best. Shot blocking was definitely up there. I mean, you could tell the Bruins were desperate tonight to kind of right the ship. That's the takeaway from this game. It wasn't pretty at all throughout most of it, but, you know, they got the job done. I mean, Winnipeg was desperate. They're fighting for their playoff lives. So hopefully they can salvage the rest of this road trip and feel good as they go back home. I think they got Scott, they're in Minnesota Saturday. Is that another matinee? How many matinees have they been playing the last couple of weeks?
All of them. I guess ABC and TNT love having them in those afternoon spots, I guess. So. Yeah, this weekend it's one of them is 1 o'clock, one's 2 o'clock, I think, Minnesota and Buffalo. So.
Minnesota's 2 o'clock, but you want to know what? you can watch the Hockey East Championship game after it so they don't conflict.
Yeah. That's right. Hockey semifinals Friday night, 4 o'clock and 7:30.
So Scott, what are we gonna do if Merrimack plays BU in the finals? Like Bridget, are you gonna be like mediator or something or what?
No. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna be gone. You guys duke it out. I'm out of my horse is out of the race.
We gotta have some sort of friendly wager.
We will. I mean, Scott, there's no doubt about it. No disrespect to my alma mater, but Scott's a way bigger BU fan than I am a Merrimack fan. I'm just kind of hopping on the bandwagon.
Scott, you gonna be there?
No. Well, still possibly for Friday, maybe last minute plan.
I got my credentials.
Saturday will be too tough though with the Bruins playing the afternoon and then Sunday skate. So I'll watch that from home.
All right. Before I sign off, Bridget, Scott, was there any closing thoughts from either one of you?
Right. One of the things, since we just touched on Allmark having that tough game, I was looking today, like just having to look at his numbers, and that was the first he had gone 2 months on the dot without having a game where he had a save percentage under 900 until Tuesday night. The league average this year is 900. So he went 2 months without having a single game where he was even league average. Like, just crazy. And one other crazy stat that I saw Thursday night, Sidney Crosby now is locked into averaging at least a point per game this season. He has now averaged a point per game in 18 straight seasons, at least a point per game in 18 straight seasons, which is one short of Wayne Gretzky's record. Also just was like shaking my head at them. Like, that's insane.
Respect.
That is real admirable. That's really cool. Been doing it a long time. It's like, I know it's kind of cringy at this point when you hear people refer to him as Sid the Kid. I feel like Ray Ferraro is like the perfect guy to say that, Sid the Kid or something like that. On like an ESPN broadcast or something. Bridget, any closing thoughts from you?
Nah,
dude. All right. Well, they got the Wild 2 o'clock Saturday, followed by, guess what, Scott? Another matinee Sunday in Buffalo. So when Scott says all of the matinees, he really means all of the matinees. So, hey, no one's complaining about afternoon hockey on the weekends, right? Everyone has to go to bed early these days, so I don't blame them. But in any event, everybody enjoy your weekends. Plenty of hockey to watch. Bruins, Hockey East, as Bridget mentioned.
Save St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. Have a very
good week. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the only one not wearing green here.
It's not St. Patrick's Day yet, guys. I'll get you tomorrow.
The podcast is dropping on St. Patrick's Day. Right, people are going to be watching this on YouTube on St. Patrick's Day.
Whatever, bro. I had corned beef. Does that count? Bridget,
I get credit? That does count.
Literally, I can't express to you how embarrassing it is that you're not wearing green right now. Really, it's really bothering me. It's so embarrassing.
All right, guys.
I actually coincidentally was wearing this. I did not wear this for St. Patrick's Day, but I'm gonna play it off like I did.
Scott definitely did it on purpose.
Yeah, Scott's rocking a sick Jimmy Fun hat. Actually, it's pretty cool. Very nice.
Actually, and like initially this was just the hat that was closest, and then I was like, oh, and it's St. Patrick's Day, so that worked. You're giving me
shit for no reason.
I was half expecting Scott to wear one of those like priest Irish things with like the orange mutton chops on here. A little leprechaun, but maybe next year, Scott, now that you know what I'm looking for on St. Patrick's Day. All right. People listening are like, all right, end the podcast. So that is exactly what I'm going to do right now. So everybody, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the rest of your weekend.